This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Jim Larranaga is coming up here in about a half an hour or so. And we look forward to that conversation. We have other things to get into. We also have another great guest joining us right now.
Top of the hour.
As we speak.
Flex the, look at that, right there. Right there.
Blends right in.
Already in the box. Jeff Capel, head coach of the Pitt Panthers, is with us. How you doing, my man?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
We're good. Are you glad January's over with, first of all? You ready for February?
I feel like it's going so fast. It's like you blinked and January's over. We're right here in February. It's been good, man. It hadn't been too cold up here. It's been a very mild January. So I'm excited about February. Excited to hopefully get some more wins here.
In terms of the condition of your team mentally, where are you given this 20-game schedule in the league?
Yeah, you know, we're plugging along, you know, just like everyone this time of year. We're a little bit tired. We've tried to be smart about what we do. We don't have a bye week until the last week. And so, you know, where some other teams have a chance to get rested and maybe get a little bit healthier, we have to take ours, you know, in different times. And so hopefully we're a little bit refreshed this week and we can get back on the winning side.
It's interesting. I saw you last weekend, and I mean, McGowan's and Johnson is one thing, but I got to tell you, Jeff, I like where Audis Toney's going for you. I think that's a guy that's really caught on and certainly has provided you something as a sophomore. And I don't know what your expectations were of him individually, but I mean, his growth seems to be fairly substantial from a season ago.
Yeah, you know, he's grown since the beginning of the year also. He started out struggling a little bit. And has really picked it up. He's maybe been our most consistent guy here over the past month and a half. And he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's playing with a lot of poise. He's letting the game come to him. But, you know, I think it all coincides with work. He's getting in the gym. He's doing extra work on his body. And you're seeing it out on the court. You're seeing the results.
Would you be offended if we started chanting, sit with us, here in the basement?
I would not be offended. I would not, absolutely not be offended.
When Kay came up to you at halftime and basically, I'm assuming, just apologized, did you have any idea what was going on?
I didn't really. You know, I heard him start yelling at the crowd, and I didn't really know what that was about. And then I saw, as I was walking off at halftime, I saw him walking fast. And so I knew that meant that he was angry. I didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't know what the crowd was saying. I knew they were saying my name, but I couldn't decipher what exactly they were saying. And so when he came up to me after halftime, you know, he did apologize. And I just said, like, Coach, I appreciate it, but I don't really know what happened. And then, you know, we discussed it after the game, but, you know, again, like he's like, I've mentioned before, you know, I've said to some people, man, when I'm 70 plus years old, I first of all, I hope I live to be that long, but, live that long to still be here. But I hope I can have half the passion that he has for anything. And it's also sticking up for your guys. He thought he heard something different. He thought it was something that was mocking or negative, and he didn't want that to happen in there. And so I'm grateful for it.
You know, the other part about it is, too, it shows, and I think you know this, and people that have been around you and your family know this, and around Coach K, and certainly you and Jason know this because you played at the two, as Pack and I were talking at the top, there are no two schools in the country that have the bond of their programs like Duke and Carolina do, right? And
yeah,
when something like that happens, Jeff, you and I both know this, that breaks down all the barriers. Whether, you know, it's King Rice coaching Monmouth playing Roy Williams in Carolina or you at Pitt and Coach K at Duke, the barriers all come down on who's playing on the floor. That's a personal thing about the program and the people that have been a part of it.
No question, and it's why those two programs are two of the most storied programs in the history of college basketball. When you look at the people, you know, the coaches that have been there, and the longevity of the coaches, you know, from Coach Smith and Coach Williams at North Carolina and then Coach K at Duke. and then the fierce loyalty they have for their guys, and then in return the loyalty that their guys have for them. And so it's a difficult game to play because of the emotion. You know, again, I'm lucky that my coach is still there at Duke, and so there is a bond that's there. And that will never be broken, regardless of where I am, regardless of where he is, regardless of what's going on. Now, in competition, you want to beat the heck out of each other, but it's still love. I think anytime you can have competition, but you still have love, then you have a chance to have something really special. And I feel fortunate to have that with Coach.
All right. You mentioned how quickly the season's going by. Can you believe, Coach, on Sunday, the 25-year anniversary of letting it rip, Duke and Carolina. It is hard to believe that was a quarter of a century ago coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Someone said that to me when I was down at Duke, one of the guys that was doing the game, and he said, you know, 25th anniversary. And as he said that, I'm trying to figure it out in my head. I'm like doing the math, like, gosh, no, that really was 25 years ago. You know, we're getting old. And so it was, you know, it's a game that I obviously remember, have a lot of people talk about it all the time. You know, for me, growing up in North Carolina, I always was a fan of the Duke-Carolina rivalry. And always watched that game. And to have a moment, you know, in history of that game is a really, really cool thing. And it's something that I'll always cherish, playing in those games, and most importantly, having a moment in that game that people always remember.
All right, I got two questions for you about the game. First of all, were there any cleaner dudes running up and down the floor that night than Ricky Price and Dante Calabria? That's number one, okay? let's get that clear first, right? I mean, Ricky Price from Gardena, California, and Dante Calabria from Pittsburgh, those cats were clean, all right? You know, good players, but they were clean. Yeah. That's number one.
Very, very clean. Dante Free Calabria, you know, his nickname was Free because he got everything free in Chapel Hill.
All right, here's number two, and I have talked about this for years, and now I get to ask you this question. I've never asked you this question. How often are you asked about the shot, and how many people think you won the game with the shot?
I'm asked about the shot, or someone makes a comment about it, even now, at least, you know, a couple times a week. And the majority of them do think that that shot won the game. You know, our people come up like, yeah, you know, you're the guy to hit the game winner against North Carolina or that shot. And I don't really do much to correct them. I just say, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it would have been sweeter if we would have won the game, whether it would have been a game winner or in the second overtime. You know, we would have won the game if, you know, I think we would have if the second play of the second overtime, Larry Rose called the BS hand check called against me, which was my fifth foul. Not that I still remember or hold a grudge, but it was the second possession of double overtime. He calls a hand check, and I'm out.
Not that he remembers back.
They remember them all.
Coach,
I mean, it's one thing to reminisce of 25 years ago, but coming up is Miami. We got Jim Larranaga joining us here in about 20 minutes. Anything you would like us to ask Coach in terms of preparation for this game?
Not really. You know, he's obviously a great coach, and you know, you guys know I don't use great often. I've been battling against Coach Larranaga's teams since I was at VCU and he was at George Mason, and have a lot of respect for him. Our families go back, and I know he's going to have his team prepared. They'll be rested, and I know they'll be ready to go.
You guys have played once, and it wasn't that long ago. We're seeing some quick turns in rematches. For instance, Clemson Wake Forest play tomorrow. I think it was, 10 days ago they played PAC. We got you guys and Miami played back on the 12th of January, so it's a couple weeks more, I guess. But are these quick turnarounds, they make for easier prep, Jeff, or not?
Yeah, you know, to a certain extent they do because you have a familiarity with them, especially for the players. You know, we did that with North Carolina. I think we played them twice in a 10 day period also a little bit earlier. And so it does give you a little bit more, you know, for your guys. They can remember certain things. They can maybe, you know, remember tendencies a little bit. You know, for us, any advantage we can get there, you know, is great for us. But you still have to go out and play. And I know that both of us played Tuesday. They played a little bit earlier. They played at home. And, you know, they've been a little bit banged up. So I know they welcome the rest that they've had for the couple of days. And, you know, we'll see if their guys will be able to go. Some of their best guys, Chris Likes was hurt, and I know they've been banged up. So, you know, we'll see who they have. And I know whoever they have, they're going to go out. They played really well against Virginia Tech on Tuesday.
Coach, the other day, and we'll let you run on this, we had a topic that if you could go back in history and pick any person to start a program with in basketball, who would you select? I'm going to put you on the spot with that question.
Wow.
And if you need some time, let me just tell you, my answer was Lenny Wirtz. So I appreciated your answer regarding the hand check.
Lenny Wirtz, wow.
See, this is I got to tell you something, Jeff. This is all the more reason you just need to carve out an hour or three in the off season. You come down here and hang with us one day. We're going
to
go some places in the rabbit hole. Yeah, we're counting on it.
I would love that. Hey, what about Dick Paparo?
That was number two.
What about that name?
Froggy was number two.
He's the only guy. He is the only guy I have ever seen reverse a technical foul. You want to talk about something crazy? The second Duke Carolina game from that year, from 95, we are playing in Chapel Hill. We're winning. It's the second half. We have all the momentum. Carolina comes down. Rasheed catches a lob and dunks and swings on the rim. They call a technical foul, and he comes running from the backcourt sprinting and waves the technical foul off. And it completely changes the momentum of the game. I've never seen a technical foul reverse. So maybe I would go with Dick Paparo.
I love it. That's such a great answer.
Can I tell you how good this has been? This has been our best segment of the week. We've gotten a Larry Rose and a Dick Paparo, and Pac brought up Lenny Wirtz, and the next thing you know, here comes Rasheed and a technical. You don't forget anything, dude. It's unbelievable.
Nah, man. Nah. We had some wars back then. It was Good time.
All right. Hey,
wish you the best.
Good luck on Sunday. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Jeff Capel, head coach of Pittsburgh. How good is that?
That was outstanding.
He throws a Dick Paparo at us.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We've talked about, you know, the transfer portal, which is nonstop in this day and age of college athletics. And when you can get your hands on a really good quarterback, it means something in this day and age, whether you're getting out of high school or somebody that has a college experience wants to transfer and go elsewhere. Chase Bryce is a really talented dude. Got his degree, and now he's got a couple years of eligibility, and everybody and their brother wants a piece of him. Why wouldn't you? This guy can help a lot of people in college football, believe me. And so there's a lot of conversation about his visit to Duke University, and you know, David Cutcliffe's been known to have a pretty good reputation when it comes to developing quarterbacks at every level.
Right.
To me, this seems to be kind of a natural fit. I have no idea what Chase is going to end up doing in terms of his decision. But you know what? I can think of worse places to be in terms of developing your skill, your career, and your education than going to Duke University and have a guy like David Cutcliffe work on your skills.
Well, here's kind of where you have to look at Chase Bryce. First of all, he appeared in 22 games in 2 years. So in that relation, he's fresh, right? I mean, 22 games over the last couple of years, 12 a year ago, 10 this year, completed 60.5% of his throws. He threw 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His average pass was 7.25. In the NFL, anything over 6 is really good. His efficiency number is 138.5.
He's a player.
He's going to help somebody, and he's going to help them day one.
Yep.
The other part, too, and you told me about this, not only the arm talent, he ran for 900 yards on 180 carries. It's not an awful number.
From a leadership standpoint, all you have to do is go back 2 years to the Syracuse-Clemson game, the year the Tigers won the national championship. It's a game that Syracuse had in their back pocket for the most part. It was Chase Bryce who had to come in for an injured Trevor Lawrence. And We'll never forget the fourth down completion that went on for the W, and of course the Tigers go 15-0.
Yeah, let me go back on this. He ran for almost 200 yards, and he averaged 8 yards a carry. That's the thing I was looking at, 8.5 yards a year ago, almost 8 yards the year before, not a lot of carries, but he's got running threat in him, and I think he's a great fit at Duke. He'd be a great fit a lot of places. If he stays in the ACC, that's a win for the league, by the way.
No question.
And the quarterback spot, and we spent some time on this a couple weeks ago, the quarterback spot's coming now in this league, Pack. I mean, think about who's coming back. You do lose Bryce Perkins at Virginia, but you got De'Aaron King at Miami.
I would go as far to say that if Chase Bryce went to Duke, just for argument's sake, he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. That's how good, yes, I think he is.
I wouldn't disagree with that. In fact, I'd like some extended conversation on that, because I think you're right, but I also think there's some contenders there, and there'd be some guys who've been starters who you would put him ahead of.
Oh, I think Chase Bryce, I mean, you know, he got buried at Clemson a little bit because it's all about Trevor Lawrence, but when he would come in the third and fourth quarters when games are out of control, you know, Dabo doesn't slow down. They run their offense.
Right.
Chase Bryce is a very smart, effective quarterback who can flat out sling it. This dude can help 95% of the teams in college football. Telling you, he's a player.
I know they're different cards, right? But let's take Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh, Chase Bryce, Clemson.
Yeah. That's
a pretty good conversation?
I think it's a really good conversation. I do.
Hendon Hooker, Virginia Tech, small body of work, ultimately got the job done. Different quarterback.
I would take Chase Bryce over Hooker. They're different players. I mean, their approach is totally different.
But right.
Chase Bryce has that it. I mean, if you're going to be able to throw the football, you got wide receivers, Chase Bryce is going to help your football team. Now, if you're going to be built to say, hey, we're going to run the football, and that includes our running back and our quarterback, then, you know, Hooker would make more sense, I think, from an athletic standpoint. But Chase Bryce is a prototypical NFL quarterback. I think he'll get NFL looks.
Oh, no question.
I think
a full year to work with?
No doubt.
Yeah.
And if he ends up, for argument's sake, again, if he goes to Duke and David Cutcliffe, given his quarterback experience and development, to me, it almost feels like a perfect fit. Smart kid, goes to get his chance to get a master's at Duke. And it, again, makes a ton of sense to me on the outside looking in.
There is another note from Clemson.
This one's bizarre.
That is really kind of fascinating, to be honest with you. And that is Clemson defensive end Logan Rudolph is retiring from football.
He's moving on from football. He's going to get his degree.
Right.
Coming up.
Two seasons left.
He's got 2 years to play. He played a bunch on the defensive end for Clemson this year. Of course, he's so deep in that department anyhow.
Right.
And so instead of, oh, my God, I can't believe he's leaving. Why would you leave Clemson? Where are you going to go? He's going to go to Hollywood. He's going to be an actor. How about that story? If this is not a transfer portal, I want to go get more playing time somewhere else. He wants to become an actor. So he is moving. He's a South Carolina kid. And so he's going to get his degree. And I'm going to tell you, this dude's a force. This guy's a player. But he wants to be an actor. He's getting ready to pick up and scoop and score against BC here. But having no big screen.
Are you stunned?
When I heard that he was leaving, I was surprised. But then when I heard why he was leaving, I said, well, good for him. You know, if you got his degree, he's got a national championship in his back pocket. You know, he's a good-looking kid.
Yeah.
Wants to be an actor. Man, go for it. That's
options.
What makes you happy. Go for it.
Got to have options.
Always helps.
Yeah.
The ability to say no is one of the best things you can ever happen to you. But good for him. If that's what he wants to do, go for it.
Hey, Logan, you want to come by the basement, hang out a little bit. Talk to us about acting.
No, he's going to the big screen.
Well, we can help.
We can't help.
Give him a little screen test right here.
Oh, man, he's going to be all right. But, anytime a young person has a dream, chase it, go for it.
No doubt.
There's nothing stopping you.
Right.
And you got your degree? Well, why not? Go for it.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Let's go down to South Beach.
Why
because
not?
The next guy that's going to join us is in the middle of glorious weather. Life is good. He's coaching his basketball team. There he is, Jim Larranaga. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's only about, 70, 75 degrees now. So it's just warming up.
Yeah, I got you. All right. First of all, I'm going to get into something that you need to know about. All right. It's a thing we do on the show called the infamous ACC index card. And all it does is measure ACC games only in terms of free throw attempt margin and foul margin. And I'm going to give you one guess. There's one team in the ACC that leads in both categories. Would you like to guess which team that is?
Yeah, I would say Duke.
You would be incorrect. The answer is the Miami Hurricanes.
Number one. Yeah, well, I didn't want to brag. Yeah, I knew the numbers, but, you know, I don't want to be patting myself on the back or our players on the back in a category that most fans don't even pay attention to.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Congratulations, because that's nothing but a sign of good coaching. That's all that is, yeah. Right?
Well, really what it's a sign of your priorities. What my players understand is when you only have six players and you play in North Carolina in Chapel Hill, nobody better get in foul trouble or foul out.
you've been in this business a long time, Coach. To say you've seen everything once would probably be an understatement, but you have seen some things here in January, have you not? Injury perspective, game perspective. I mean, it's another chapter in your long-awaited book that I've told you you ought to write.
Well, you know, college basketball now is inundated with injuries. Every player that comes out of high school gets injured. They get knocked down. They twist an ankle. They get cramps. You know, knee injuries are prevalent, whether it's a ACL or a meniscus. So I see you showing some highlights of our team. I hope we play this well on Sunday.
I know this much. When I turned on the tube the other night against Virginia Tech, your team played well. And I know that that last minute might have gotten a little interesting, but for the most part, that was a really good effort by your ball club.
Well, I thought our first half against Virginia Tech at both ends of the court was the best we've played. And one of the reasons was we had 2 days to actually practice with a good portion of our team. And for most of January, we've only had six guys to practice, and it's hard to prepare a team playing 3-on-3.
It also speaks to a little bit of how long this season is. I mean, and we've talked to Clyde Trapp earlier in the show about 20 games. We've talked to coaches on and off about 20 games. Do you have to remind yourself every once in a while that you're just kind of to the halfway point of the league slate?
Yeah, we've got three games this week. What always has concerned me is the pressure that a student athlete feels to get their schoolwork done and to be at class, and yet we're traveling during the week. It's one of the major differences between college basketball and college football. Football, almost all their games are played on Saturday, so they can be in class Monday through Friday. Whereas basketball, we play Sunday, and then we play Tuesday, or we play a Thursday, and you're missing classes during the week, and it's a real challenge for the guys to stay on top of their work. And I am so proud that we actually have 100% graduation rate of any of our guys that stay for 4 years and don't turn pro.
Coach, if I was at Miami, I'd stay there for 9 years. It'd be 9 years if you kicked me out down there. 75 degrees in January playing basketball. I mean, well, you can't get a better deal than that. Can't beat it.
No, you know, that's very true. I was talking to a parent the other night of a young man that we're recruiting. And he said that his son's goal is to go to a school where he can wear T-shirt and shorts year round. And I told him, you're not going to find a better option than Miami.
I know this much. We just got done talking to Jeff Capel about a half an hour ago, and you got them coming up this week. That is some kind of backcourt matchup when you hook up with Pittsburgh now.
Yeah, I think Jeff has done a fantastic job. He's got that program headed in the right direction. I mean, they opened up ACC play. Just think about it. They had a home game to start ACC play in November and beat Florida State, who right now has had a tremendous season so far. They're in the top 10. Leonard Hamilton's done a great job. So Jeff Capel has to be very, very excited about the direction his program's going in.
Coach, when you look at this league, and you've seen it a lot of different ways from your years at Virginia as an assistant to now back being a head coach a decade more at Miami, when you look at this league right now, we're seeing a little bit of turbulence, if you will. There's a lot of unknowns. We talked about that when we saw you in October. Is some of that unknown starting to become known in your mind?
Well, the known part is there's going to be a lot of unknowns. Mm. Every year there's going to be a lot of transfers and guys going to the pros. You're not only recruiting high school players, high school seniors, but you're recruiting ninth graders, 10th graders, 11th graders. You're recruiting junior college. You're recruiting Division I transfers. You're recruiting fifth-year transfers. So, and you're recruiting right through the summertime. There's not a dead period in recruiting. Years ago, when I first got started, recruiting was done 365. And then it changed when they put in recruiting periods. And there was time off. There is no time off now because in April, May, and June, you're still recruiting transfer students. And with over 1,000 kids going into the transfer portal every year, you're busy, you know, identifying guys that might be able to help your program and recruiting them.
Coach, speaking of recruiting, this weekend there's a little event taking place down in your backyard up and above Miami and Pittsburgh basketball, this little football game. You know, you've got so much to sell from an academic standpoint, what you've been able to establish as the head coach of the Canes. But Miami also provides unbelievable entertainment. So when you start talking about recruiting, how much, for example, will you incorporate the fact that the Super Bowl is in your backyard this weekend?
Well, that's one thing we don't have to tell the players that we're recruiting or their parents, because everybody follows the Super Bowl. And in basketball, everybody follows the Miami Heat. Once LeBron James came to the Heat just elevated its brand. And kids all over love following the Heat. It helps us immensely that the University of Miami is affiliated with those events, those programs, those organizations. But the key for us is we want them coming to the University of Miami to play basketball to help us win in the ACC, the best basketball conference in America.
When you look at this team, and I know Chris Likes is trying to get back, DJ Vasiljevic has played well the other night in the victory over Virginia Tech, Cam McGusty now back on the floor. I know every team's different, but McGusty seems to have really given you quite a punch with his arrival this year on the floor.
Well, that's where transfers can be so vital. We have a transfer sitting out right now named Nasir Brooks, who played at Cincinnati for 3 years and transferred and is sitting out this year. He's 6'11", 245 pounds. So we expect big things from him in the future. We've already had transfers like Shane Larkin from DePaul, Angel Rodriguez from Kansas State, Sheldon McClellan from Texas, who have come in, Kamari Murphy. So we've kept our eyes out there looking for transfer. Cam McGusty came in from Oklahoma, sat out last year, and now is one of the leading scorers in the ACC and doing a great job this season.
Coach, with the exception of health, and obviously that's important, what's the most important thing for Miami basketball in the second half of the season?
Well, we need wins. I mean, we've got to stay healthy. We've got to improve defensively and in rebounding. We started out this season with 7 players who didn't play for us last year. Mm. Rodney Miller had redshirted. Cam McGusty was a transfer. Isaiah Wong, Harlan Beverly, and Anthony Walker were freshmen, incoming freshmen. So we've had a lot of adjusting to do and learning to do, and I think we're getting better. But we got to be healthy in order to utilize the improvement.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jeff a moment ago. The quick turnaround in your two matchups. I know you've had maybe games that have rotated quicker in conference play this year, but it wasn't that long ago you guys beat Pitt on a Sunday at home in Coral Gables, I think the 12th of January. Now a couple of weeks removed, you get the Panthers again. How does that help you in your prep to play a team on a frequent turn? But also, how does it help your players in terms of getting ready to play a team again like that?
Well, I think familiarity is what makes preparation so important, because we know Pitt, Pitt knows us. Hopefully our players really understand that, so that the things that we did well can repeat itself. The things we didn't do so well that we have to improve, and in order to improve it, we've got to do it in practice first. And that's not so easy when you got a bunch of guys who are beat up. You know, Chris Likes, Cam McGusty. We got to be very, very careful of how much we ask of them in practice, because if they're still beat up come game day, they're not going to help us because they're injured.
We wish you the best, Coach. Again, sunblock, sunblock, sunblock.
75 degrees. Unbelievable. Jim, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for the time. Wish you a lot of luck.
My pleasure.
All right. Jim Larranaga, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
75 degrees.
Yeah. It's tough down there this week now.
Oh, it's rocking.
Hardest part about that area is traffic. That's all you got to worry about.
That would be busy.
Yeah. Other than that, all good, man.
He is one heck of a coach, though, man.
Yeah.
He's been good for so long. Absolutely. I still remember the first time I interviewed him when he took over the job at Miami. And it might have been the tip-off time. And he was talking about, man, I'm going to go out there and we're going to have peaches for the kids. We're going to get people excited about Miami basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Was not long until they were cutting down the nets as the ACC champs.
No, it wasn't.
Who would have ever thought that the University of Miami, when they joined the Atlantic Coast Conference,
right,
would cut down the nets as champions of men's basketball before they would win a conference championship game in football? Nobody.
Nobody.
100% would have gone, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's exactly what that guy accomplished. He's a great coach.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Coleman Scott, fantastic. Friday night duels tonight on ACC Network.
Clyde Trapp doing his thing for the Tigers. They're on the road in Winston-Salem, taking on Wake Forest.
We didn't get to Neesh Shroff and his highlights of going to Disney World. That'll be on his next visit.
Next visit. And hopefully he'll clean up a little bit.
Come on.
On that vacation scruff, which is nice. And, of course, lacrosse season gets underway this weekend.
That's part of the weekend menu, by the way, brought to you by Bojangles. Lacrosse on this very network, folks, starting tomorrow. High noon, Chapel Hill, Colgate at North Carolina, followed at 2 by Air Force at Duke. Friday night duels tonight, 7 o'clock, Duke and Carolina. You got basketball tomorrow following lacrosse, starting at 6 and then again at 8. And men's basketball on Sunday at noon. Miami and Pittsburgh, and then Notre Dame at Georgia Tech on the ladies' side, 2 o'clock Eastern.
Good weekend.
Your Super Sunday.
Yep. Couple things before we open this gift.
Okay.
And there's some offbeat things here. It's normally what we do for the last segment.
Sure.
You, I would say, of all the people that I have ever worked with,
mm-hmm.
you are as social media savvy as anybody I've dealt with.
Right.
You like being on Instagram. You like the Twitter. You like selfies. There's always something going on social media with you.
Okay.
All right. I read yesterday, and I jotted this note down. I was like, this is a West Durham special.
Okay.
That you have a lot of work to do.
Why is that?
Because Ronaldo yesterday reached 200 million Instagram followers.
Yeah, I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot.
Wes, 200 million Instagram followers.
Right. I got you.
He gets paid $975,000 per Instagram post.
Oh, he gets paid?
For a sponsorship.
Wow.
975K.
Mm.
So
we got goals to reach.
So this is in your wheelhouse.
No, it's not.
Ronaldo's got 200 million. It's time to roll up our sleeves. Get to work. You get to work. I don't care about it.
I think we're ready to show you something that has happened during the show. You ready?
Do we set the internet ablaze again?
Well, not us.
Uh-oh.
But apparently, Ross Martin of Inside Carolina has found this on the Instagram. And we're going to see if we can roll that up there to you.
An emoji?
Cole Anthony posted this to his Instagram story. What does it all mean, Pac?
What did I tell you 2 weeks ago? I can't wait for him to get back, but I will believe it when I see it. I'm ready for him to come through the tunnel in the Carolina blue and white.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's, I mean, come on. I'm tired of the Instagram stuff. Let's go play.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
And we asked Garrison Brooks yesterday that question.
Yeah, he laughed.
Well.
So, all right. That.
We time to open up a gift here?
I think so.
All right. Now, remember, every time the paper rips.
Yeah, look, I've got a black lab.
Fuller is ready to think there's food involved. Right? It involves him. Yeah.
I got it.
Where's this coming from?
This is coming from Otto.
Our man Otto?
Otto in the Christmas closet.
With a Stella in his hand?
There's more tape involved here, and Fuller thinks it's peanut butter.
That's right. I just put it on the floor.
Yeah.
I got to clean it up after the show. Yeah.
I do think this is something that we talked about.
Oh, don't you tell me.
I think it is. It's got the shape and the look of it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Hours of entertainment for Packer and Durham coming up on this show.
Oh, please be what I think this
is. This could actually be very good for us down the road.
What are the chances of you opening up this gift before 10 a.m. or reaching 200 million followers on your Instagram?
The 10 a.m. part will happen long before the 200 million. I'm not that interested.
Robert's got, yeah, this is why.
No, Robert, we're not bringing weapons into the
Let's bring some sharp objects in the room.
Coming up, priority mailbox.
Well, it's a shame Clifford's not here. He'd have loved that piece of trash.
Clifford would have loved that.
Fuller thinks it's dog food.
Sure he does.
Look at him. He's going crazy.
He thinks it's noodles and red wine, which apparently he gets fed on a regular basis.
Only during the week. So next morning, you and Buddy West can hook up.
Buddy West and...
You're gonna need something, dude.
We'll make.
There is no way you're gonna have this open.
What kind of entertainment is this for the Packer and Durham?
How about this? While you're doing this, let me give you another offbeat thing that I ran across.
Why don't you do that while I open this up here?
Jeez,
I was told not to open the box before the show ended because we wouldn't want to pre.
Exactly what we thought it was going to be. This is so fantastic.
Here you go, Robert.
We have huge plans.
We do
for this right here.
The holiday show next year.
Yep.
Now has an element.
Yep. This is what we talked about. We've done, 40, 45 holiday shows here on ACC Network. When they ask us to do it again, this is what we talked about doing, is finding this right here.
This is the 1962 version of Basquette.
Now, if folks don't know what this is, shame on you.
Real basketball in miniature form.
Yep.
And this I had this game as a kid.
I
you had
too.
This game?
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh.
We even have the balls, too. It's fantastic. And the scoreboard, visitor team, home team.
Yeah. Visitor team, home team.
Yeah. And a warped court, which is great.
It's all the very important part.
Yeah. We are going to have our own ACC basketball tournament for the holidays. The holiday edition. So great.
Look at that. Huh? Look at this.
Love it. The net. Beautiful.
Now, some folks under certain ages will not know what this is.
This would be the equivalent board game of the Dean E. Smith Center bringing in the Carmichael flip scoreboard.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, that was a horrific effort, very much like Apex High School.
Really?
Okay. I'll catch it. I'm waiting for it to come ricocheting off.
We got to loosen it up. Let's go to the foul line.
Oh, yeah, let's go to the foul line. Where you've been mocking everybody in the league.
It's a frontline miss.
Good grief. It's like Ole Miss women's basketball. There it is. Basquette is in the house.
It is in the house.
And the best part about
awesome.
It, the rules are on the inside of the box.
And they're not to be confused with the North Korean basketball rules.
What was that all about?
By the way, did you know slam dunks are worth 3 points?
In North Korea.
Field goals in the final minute of games are worth 8. Three-pointers are worth 4 if the ball doesn't touch the rim.
It's like the NBA All-Star game.
But the most important part is a point is taken away for missed free throws.
Can you imagine if we had that?
Not to worry about it now, Pac. You know why?
We got basket.
We have basket.
By the way, one
great
more
gift. Thank you
that
so much
awesome.
Thank you so much to everybody involved in us getting this,
yep.
Especially Otto.
Yep. Otto back there with a Stella in his hand. One other thing too, I just want to, again, I always like cool promotions. You got this big game in football on Sunday.
Yeah.
I know, Fuller, you want to get the ball. That's all right. The Giorno Pizza. I don't know if they're a sponsor yet, but I'm going to give them a shout out. Did you hear what they're doing?
No, sir.
The Giorno Pizza. If the score of the big game on Sunday in Miami ever reaches 14-3, they're going to tweet out a link that you get a free pizza. Why, you ask? Well, 14-3, flip it. 3-14, that's pie.
Yeah.
3-14 equals pie. So the Giorno pizza pie, if it's 14-3 on Sunday, go to the Giorno link and bam, you got yourself a free pizza. Good for them. All right, man. We're good to go. Good week of shows, man. That was a good collection of guests this week.
Great show today. Thanks to Drew, Josh, Chrissy, everybody involved in helping us get through the week. We'll be back Monday.
We hope so.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.